It was the week of Passover. Historians estimate that probably 200,000 people descended upon Jerusalem during those days of celebration. Now, 200,000 extra people would challenge any city, especially one whose average population was 40,000. There wouldn't have been enough housing. Food would have been scarce, and can you imagine the problem of sanitation? It was enough to cause anyone to feel a little bit of grief. I mean, the chaos, the constant confusion. But you know, overcrowding wasn't the only problem during Passover. While it created a whole host of its own problems, what really worried the people were the Essenes, a radical group of separatists whose goal it was to overthrow the Roman government. On more than one occasion, they had been known to take the holiday as an opportunity to infiltrate the crowd and to incite them into a riot. That's why Pontius Pilate, the governor of Rome, always took Passover as his annual visit to Jerusalem. He would come riding into the city on his white steed, and he would be followed by columns upon columns of marching soldiers. And as he rode into the city, he would make certain that the people were there to greet him. After all, he was a god. And he would march his soldiers around the city, not in a spectacular parade, but as a show of force. If anyone thought they were going to riot, they had better think again. Now, given the oppressiveness of the Roman government and the general contempt that it generated among the majority of Druze, can you begin to get a feel for what Jerusalem was really like? The streets were crowded. Tempers were running short. Everywhere you turned, there was a Roman soldier looking over your shoulder. This was not exactly a street party, was it? And if you made a wrong move, if you did anything that the Romans didn't like, you were in trouble. To defy the power of the empire was something that just wasn't done. So, I can only imagine that the people who lived in Jerusalem and the Jews who came with no other motive than to worship God and to celebrate the holiday, I can imagine that somehow or the other they developed their own underground language. You know, you can't oppress people before they start doing that, can you? Remember the gospel songs of the slaves in this country? How they would sing them so other slaves would know what was going on, and their masters had no idea. You can't keep people oppressed before they learn how to communicate, and I have no doubt in my mind that the people in Jerusalem knew how to communicate without the Romans knowing what was going on. So, despite everything I've told you about the tensions and the threat of violence, if I was to ask you where the crowd came from that day when Jesus came riding into the city, most of us would say, well, they had their way. But friends, the scriptures tell us it was a large group of people. Do you really think that the Romans were blind to the fact that perhaps 100 or maybe even 1,000 people were suddenly leaving the city and going in the same direction? Do you honestly think that they wouldn't have stopped them all and asked them what they were doing and probably suggested that they needed to hightail it back into the city, huh? The Romans were there. Now, I have no doubt that as Jesus came off the mountain and through the valley, and as the shouts of Hosanna were echoing through the valley, I have no doubt that there were some people who came out of the city gate to see what was going on. And maybe even some of them managed to make their way into the parade. Maybe some of them knew about Jesus. But most of them, well, when I picture the scene, I picture someone yelling, "Fire!" You know how that one goes? All of the idol and thrill seekers come running out to see what's going on, and they stand around as long as there's something to look at, but as soon as the fire's put out or the excitement dies down, they just go back to their business. Well, that's the majority of people in Jerusalem. If they joined the parade at all, they probably just joined it at the end because they wanted to see what was going on. I really doubt that very many of them were committed to Jesus. So where did the crowd come from? If there is reason to doubt that it didn't originate in the city, it had to originate from someplace. Where did the people come from? Did they just happen to be in the right place at the right time? Or could it be that they were there all along? If that's the case, then we have an example of what Vernus Miller calls the uncommon courage of common folk. Folk who had already experienced a presence so powerful, a message so compelling, and a love so complete that they were not only willing but eager to make the journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. Do you remember how the scriptures tell us that the crowds kept growing around Jesus? Do you remember how they say that it got to the point where it was almost impossible for him to get away by himself? Well, friends, those crowds just didn't go home at night. They continued to follow him. And so over the 3 years of his ministry, many people began to join the small band of 12 disciples. They ate with Jesus. They listened to his stories. They walked with him down dusty roads. They sat with him at night. They cried tears with him. They laughed with him. They knew him. They had seen his miracles. They had seen him reach out to those who others ignored. They had heard his message, his gospel of love and peace and justice for all. These were folk who followed him at great risk to themselves And on that day, when Jesus finally sent the disciples in to get the colt, and they realized that he was about to proclaim to the entire world that he was indeed the Messiah, can you imagine the excitement that filled them? Finally, he was going to say what they had known all along, that he was indeed the Son of God. And so when they saw him get on the colt and began to ride down that hill, they grabbed anything they had, their coats, their cloaks, their shirts, the branches off of trees, and they began to shout, "Hosanna in the highest!" Save us, we pray. And they believed that it was going to happen. They believed. They really believed. But even that day that was filled with excitement, even then, as a crowd of believers followed him and led him into the city, and the joy seekers came out, Jesus knew Friday was coming. I wonder who in that crowd was standing with him then. And come Friday, I wonder which crowd we will be standing with. Will it be the thrill seekers or the risk takers? Will we be standing with the ones who are shouting, "Crucify him"? Or will we be with the ones who dare to stand firm, who refuse to be silenced? Or worse yet, will we be the ones who just don't care? Which crowd will we be standing with? To God be the glory. Amen.